We are thrilled you can join us today for my dad's message on prayer. We hope you'll invite your family and friends to worship with us. Today's sermon, When God Says No, speaks to how God answers our prayers in different ways. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here we are, another week rolled by. The Lord has waited another week, and so we have another week to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And just thank all of you tuning us in. Thank you for the letters and everything else. It's just wonderful. All over the world, we're getting support. And today, we're going to preach about something that people ask me a lot of time. When God says no, why does he say no? What's this no business all about? But before that, I want to read some of the letters, all these wonderful letters. And here's one that came 7,700 miles, New Zealand, beautiful New Zealand. Good morning from New Zealand. I'd like to say thank you for your friend request, as I'm feeling deeply honored and grateful for it. At first, I had to make sure that it was really your service. Lo and behold, it surely is. I get to watch Christian Worship Hour every so often on the Christian channels here in New Zealand. And so we just praise God from people from all over the world. It's just so wonderful to have these electronics. And we get the emails. That's what I can't get over in my head. I was raised when we had mail for 1 cent, an envelope, a letter, and maybe to go across town took a couple of days. And if it's overseas, it'd take a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, maybe by ship, who knows? And here it is seconds later. It's just, you know, it just kind of scares me. But I'll get over it. Here's Port Graham, Alaska. Thank you, Pastor Salem, for your Sunday show. Me and my girlfriend watch every Sunday. We're Russian Orthodox Christians. We don't have a priest to run our church. Thank you. Enclosed is an offering. Send us the heart of a shepherd. And God bless you all. And so here, this is a really wonderful because here they are people from the Russian Orthodox Church. And so just so you have Jesus. See, it doesn't matter. I don't care what handle you put under, what flag you fly under. Just so you have Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to heaven, comes to the Father, but by me. The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus, beautiful Jesus. And notice they're asking for the heart of a shepherd. And this is a new film that we just put out. It's an hour-long film, and it points out the way of salvation. We set it out on a free will offering basis. And I'll give you the address at the close of the service so you get ready. And you get this because people are really enjoying this. And they point to people to Jesus. And you can show it to your friends who don't know the Lord. And they can come to the Lord Jesus also. Here's one from Chowchilla, California. God bless you. I watched the service of yours and it was very good. Oh, yeah, listen to this. I did find one error, though. The age of the pastor is said to be 94, and this is the fake news. The man speaking could not have been 84. He spoke clear in power and had a focused point, so I thought he was 74. He emphasized the need of God now, not later. I inspected his hair, his clothes, his manners, and so forth, and I agree this pastor guy is only 54. I really like that kind of math. God bless you. Keep it up. And then one more I want to share is in Florence, Italy. And they write and say, we are blessed with your dedication in serving the Lord. I'm a new Christian, 43 years old. My wife has been a Christian since she was 13 years old. God bless you with more joyous years to come. And maybe, who knows, you might visit Italy. God's blessings upon you and your church. And when I read that, here it is, this wonderful Lord Jesus. And we're all a part of the family of God. When we ask Jesus into our heart, Jesus said, you have to be born again. Well, how do you get born again? You get born again by asking the Lord to come into your heart, come into your life, and you're born again. John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. So you hear the word, you believe the word, and you have everlasting life. And then it closes, that verse closes, shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. That's heaven. And so you say, I don't know how, what would I say? I'll tell you what to say. I was 10 years old when I made that prayer. And this is what you pray. You pray, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I'll turn and I will ask you to wash them away, take them away. And I'll turn from my sins the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Just use your own words. But just the main thing is, you're confessing you're a sinner. You're asking Jesus to forgive you for your sins. You're promising you're going to turn from those sins. And I say the best you can, because nobody's perfect. And so when you turn from your sins and then you get caught up in them again, you go to Jesus. And he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you say, well, how many times can I do that? Oh, maybe a million times. You see what God tells us? My grace is sufficient for thee. And he's saying, if you sin after you're saved, and we all will in one way or another, then my grace is sufficient for thee. And he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. See, you only find grace in Christianity. You don't find it in any religion in the world. And that's the wonderful grace of God. So you come to Jesus, you ask him into your heart. And then once you do that, you can go on your way rejoicing, and you're part of the family of God. Well, let's look at our sermon today. When God says no, and so we're going to talk about prayer, because we're all interested in prayer, and we all know times when God answers our prayers. And if you're like most people, there's been times when God hasn't said he said no. So how come? What goes here? Why does he say yes and why does he say no? Well, first of all, I want to tell you that this. Sometimes God answers prayers in different ways. Sometimes it can be a delayed prayer. And so here's Abraham. God promises Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, and you call him Isaac. And so Abraham prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and there's no Isaac. How long did he pray? Almost 100 years. But Isaac came. See? And so just don't give up and you pray that prayer. But always pray the Lord's will to be done. Then sometimes God doesn't answer prayer, says no, because he wants to deal with us. He wants us to have some setbacks. He wants to get our attention. He wants us to put our weight on him, see? And so the Bible tells us, Hebrews 12, verse 6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And why does he do that? He chastens everyone he gets. That's because we're not perfect. And he's working for us to be perfect, to be like his son, and to get rid of sin and to help spiritual life grow, see? And he tells us why in Hebrews 12, verse 11. He says, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Can be translated a quiet growth of grace and character. So God disciplines us to make us better. You see that played out in the life of St. Paul. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let me read it to you, beginning with the 7th verse. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the man of abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may be rest in me. Therefore, I take no pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, persecution to distresses, but for I am weak, then I am strong. So here's Paul, and he has a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it is. Everybody's got an idea what it is. We don't know what it is, except it's in the flesh. So it's something to do with not your spirit, but their flesh. Thorn in the flesh. And so Paul is praying. And he prayed, and it was a persistent prayer. And he prayed and asked God to remove it. And then God says, Paul says, I entreated the Lord three times. And it was specific. It's this thorn in the flesh. Three times he prayed that. It was persistent. Three times he begged God. And the first two times, God didn't say anything. And after the third time he prayed it, the God refused to take it away, the thorn. In other words, God said no. He says, I don't want you to ask anymore. I'm not going to remove it, Paul. And Paul says that. And so then God is saying no. But God's going to help him. And he gives him two gifts to help him. The first gift is, the first is grace. He gives grace when he says no. He gives grace to help us along the way. And only grace is found in Christianity, see? And so I have with people, maybe when the spouse goes, and they'll say, I don't know how I can live another day, but God gives grace and he helps our heart and our soul. We're going to hurt. Friend, listen, you don't know what it's like to lose your spouse unless you lost your spouse. That's all there is to it. And that's, you're going to hurt, but God is going to give us grace to overcome it. J.E. Mayhill writes about this wonderful grace of God. He says, he giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed and the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. That's what Jesus did for Paul. He said no, but he gave him grace. See? And the second thing he did, he gave him strength. He gave him strength. And so Paul, he just gives God... give you power. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And you don't know how you can ever do it, but he'll give you grace. He'll give you strength. See? So God is in it. So he tells Paul, no, I'm not going to heal you, Paul. You're going to have to die with that thorn in the flesh. You're going to have it as long as you live. And then Paul, was he angry? Did he say, well, oh, yeah, well, that's a fine deal. I've been serving you and I've been stoned and I've been scourged and I've been whipped and I've been hungry and I've been shipwrecked. You know, the whole litany of things. And Paul says, I did all that for you, and then you won't do nothing for me. See, that he could have done that. But what did Paul do? Oh, no. He says, listen what he says. Therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness. I'm going to boast about it. I'm going to give God the glory. My enemy is working for my good. That thorn is there for a blessing. Therefore, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness than the power of Christ may dwell in me. Job was the same way. He could have become angry with God. You know the story of Job. Job had everything, holdings and property and children and reputation and health. He had everything, and he lost it all, and he's on an ash pile, picking one with his boils, and he thinks he's going to die. And his wife said, Job, why don't you get out of your misery? Just curse God and die. And in Job 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. No question about it. Sometimes God says no, and when he does, we submit and we leave it with the Lord. It's over and over. And you ask we might become angry. Some people become angry. I've seen it in my ministry. I've been in the work now 75 years. I just started 75 years of preaching. Somebody says, wow, I think you could preach a little better than that after 75 years. I tell them, hey, you ought to heard me when I started. I'm not doing so bad, really. At least I'm getting out the word of God. And so how are we going to handle this? How's Job going to handle it? How's Paul going to handle it? And so many times we just submit to the will of God, see, and put it in his hands and rely upon him. So often in Scripture, Sometimes he'll say yes, and sometimes he'll say no. And when you look in the Bible, you see it. Look at here, Daniel in the lion's den. And I remember my mother had a Bible storybook, and she read that Bible story every night, put her three boys in bed, all in the same bed. Well, that's something. And she'd read a Bible story to us. And then she'd pray for us, and then she'd give us a kiss. And I remember that picture of Daniel in the lion's den scared me half to death. But God says, no, I'll give him lockjaw. And they didn't touch him. But lo and behold, when you come to the martyrs in the early church, they're put in the Colosseum and the lions ate them all. And so sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no. Or again, look at the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And you know the story as well as I do. They walk around in there with the fourth person being the Son of God in his pre-incarnate form. And they come out and they don't even smell of the smoke. They haven't even bothered their whiskers. All that flame and that fire. But look at John Huss, July 6th. 1415, on the outskirts of Prague, he's put to a stake and he's burned to death in the flames and he's praying for deliverance and God says, no, John, no. And so, well, let me give you one other illustration where God says yes and he says no. And it's the book of, Hebrews chapter 11. And this chapter is called the Hall of Fame for people that had faith. And listen to how he said yes to some of these people, he says, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets, but who through faith conquered the kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped at the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies, women receive back their dead, raised to life again. Praise God. Look at all the yeses. Yes, yes, yes. Wait a minute. We haven't finished the chapter yet. And so let's read on and see what he says. Some faced jeers and flogging while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what has been promised. And except they could look for a promise. Look at here. Same chapter, same people, same God, same problems. And some are yes, and some are no. How? Why? And I'll tell you why. It happens because we don't understand and know the perfect will of God. You don't know God's mind. Here, they ask me to pray for this man. He has cancer, and I pray, God, heal him, but may your will be done, see. Now, there are some things I know that God wants. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I know that, but I don't know that God's will for that man with the cancer, whatever it is, you see. So you have to leave it to God. It's just, am I going to instruct God? Am I going to tell God what to do, when to get up and when to not say yes? When to say no, am I going to do all of that? Well, lands, listen to me, friends. I got something to tell you. It's just like if I'm walking down the street and there's a worm crawling down the street and he says, hey, pastor, I've got some things I want to tell you and straighten you out. And so you'll know what to do and what to say and what not to say. That makes more sense than me trying to tell God what to do. You don't know the mind of God. And what did Jesus say? He says, when we get to heaven, you won't ask me anymore. It's all made. You see, it's just like a beautiful carpet. And you lift that carpet up and there's nothing but threads running every which way. It is a mess, a first-class mess. But you lay it down and it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. We're on the downside and we don't know what God is doing, except we know he's always right. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And we put it in his hands, in his blessed, beautiful hands, this wonderful Savior. So give it to God. You see how we handle these unanswered prayers? The way to do it very simply is this. We just give it to God. Because sometimes he says yes to Job. Job says, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he's saying, when God gives, we bless his name. When God takes, we bless his name. When God says yes, we bless his name. When God says no, we bless his name. There's simply this, my friend, submit to the holy, precious, wonderful will of God and let him lead and let him do his way. Job says, I don't care what, though he slay me, I will trust him. John said he would die for Jesus, and he did die for Jesus at the hands of a wicked man, Herod. Thus it was that God says yes to Job. He says no to John. And so when we come to him, whether he says, we leave it to him. And when he says no, and we know this, we know that he loves us far more than our earthly father ever could. You can't imagine how much God loves us. We know that he does all things well. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. We know that he is in the throne, and on one of these days he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He's greater than all of these things. We know that, and we know that whether he says a yes or whether it's a no, we know we love him, and what we need to do is submit. Submit. That's the secret. And just say, dear Jesus, I sure would like this thorn to be taken away. But if not, I'll hold it like a flag. I'll glory in it. I'll carry it with honor. And go, God, I like this. But if it's a no, then thank you, Lord. And because I know there's a reason and there's a purpose. Because I know that there's a God there who has a heart so big that he gave his son Jesus, the only son in heaven that he had in the Holy Trinity. And he gave him, and when he was on that cross, Jesus took all of our sins. I think he took them in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he went to the cross and he died in the cross. And when God looked down upon him, Jesus, God turned his back on his own son. And Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the complete circle of eternity, God had never turned his back on his son. Now he turns his back on his son, and the son has to hide its face. There's darkness at midday because he carried our sins. And so God gave his son. And if you lose a son or you lose a daughter, God knows how you feel, only he has an infinite love. We have a finite love. We can't love like Jesus, see? And so all we have to do is just give it all to Jesus. And when we do that, we honor him. And our faith grows when we give it to Jesus, see? And we please God when we give it to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you the first prayer thing you all need to do is to make the prayer of the penitent and come to Jesus. He gave his son as a gift. And you say, I don't want that gift. I don't need your son. Oh, what an insult. And it won't be treated lightly with God the Father. If you reject him and you die in your sins, you will wish to God you would have given a different tune. You need to come to Jesus. And you just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, dear Jesus, just to take my sins away. And I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. And then you get out and live for the Lord. Now, as I've said before, you'll never be perfect. We have people who think they're perfect, but there's no such a person, only with Jesus, see? And when we sin and when we have a bad thought, when we don't do something we should do or we do something we shouldn't, we go to Jesus and we tell him, oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. And just forgive me for my sins and I'll walk with you and he'll forgive you every time. And when he says no and you're disappointed, just bite your tongue a little bit and say, Jesus, I know that's right. Thank you for the no. Thank you, Jesus. And I love you, Jesus, see? And he loves you. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. I'm 97 years old. 87 years. How many sins do you think I committed since I have the original sin that I committed that first night in a country schoolhouse 10 years old? But every time I go to him, he forgives me every time, and I rejoice in the Lord. Now, if you said that, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57401. Or if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can get our website, and you can see all about our organization. You can see some of our people are on there. So just tune us in, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and send us a gift if you can. Just ask the Lord what to do. We're not underwritten by any denomination or organization or anything like that. We're just God's people all over the world. That's our income. So you help us. And now I'm going to pray. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Algeria. So dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the multitudes of people right now making that prayer, coming to Jesus. And now their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're your child forever. Just pray today for those on beds of sickness and those who are shut in and those who are lonely. Pray for the young people, Lord. They have so many temptations. Help them. And the children, the little children, they can understand. As they watch that film, they can understand about accepting Jesus. And for the people in Algeria, our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church, help them to know that we pray for them. They're not forgotten. You know all about them, but we pray for them too. Someday we'll see them in heaven, and they're an encouragement to all of us. Thank you, Jesus. In the Savior's name, amen. All right, now, our gift to all of you people on shortwave, the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want that beautiful film, Heart of a Shepherd, you just write that. If you can send a gift, all right. If you don't have a penny, we'll send it and somebody else will help us. So you will be looking for those letters. We'll be looking for counting on those prayers. And next week, the Lord willing, if he tarries that long, we'll be gathered around the throne of grace all over the world. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? The family of God, and I'm part of it, and you're part of it. If you have Jesus in your heart, you're a part of that family of God. And don't forget, God loves you. And even if you're in your sin, he loves you. He wants you to come back. Christian Worship Hour loves you. I love you, goodness sakes. And I'm telling you the best way I can. So listen, and then do what God tells you. And we'll give God the glory.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.